Okay, we were talking about the house in the neighborhood.
Yeah, it was a typical house at that time. It was a new house. We were fortunate, I guess, in that respect.
Okay, this is part two with Louis Dalio and his son Michael sitting in the room.
I'm enjoying it.
So, okay, we were talking about the house in the neighborhood.
Yeah, it was a typical house at that time. It was a new house. We were fortunate, I guess, in that respect. But it was small, and my brother and I shared a bed until we both left for service. From there, I went to St. Thomas, as I said, 1 year in eighth grade, which got to be a real pain because of the double bus transfers, and the buses weren't very efficient back in those days. Streetcar on one leg, and then bus on the other leg.
Can I ask you about that? The electric streetcar?
Electric streetcar.
And that ran down Harrisburg?
Harrisburg. Harrisburg had an electric streetcar.
How much did it
When I got to town, we could transfer to a bus, and that was big time to go on a gas-operated bus.
How much did it cost for an electric?
Cost me a nickel. And I got a transfer to go on the other, it cost me a whole nickel to go to school. A nickel for to get on the streetcar, then I got a transfer to go to the bus to go to St. Thomas. Same thing coming home. I caught the bus, got a transfer, caught the streetcar, got off on the corner and walked 2 blocks.
And St. Thomas was downtown at that time?
That was exactly where the school is today.
Oh, it was already out of Memorial?
Yeah, I was in the first class. First class that when the school opened, I was in the first class.
What year was that?
78, I guess. I think 78. Yeah, I don't remember. I'm sure. I'm sorry. I don't remember.
78, that. No. Or, not at all.
19.
I think maybe 28 or 38.
No, it wasn't 28.
30?
It wasn't 78. No, 48. No, 30 had to be 38.
Had to be 38.
Okay.
Had to be 38, that's right.
Because by 40, you were not even in the country.
Well, I went the next three years to Millvie, which was just straight down Harrisburg, a little ways, still cost a nickel, but went to Millvie, and then got out of Millvie and... interesting, you may want to hear that. I worked in two defense plants while going to high school. My junior and senior year, which was not uncommon, a lot of the boys were doing that. My junior and senior year, I worked, junior year, I worked at American Can Company over on, I think it was on Navigation. It was on that, or Canal. Navigation, I guess it was. And I worked the evening shift from 4 to 11. And I mean, not really a shift, but I worked from 4 to 11, 5 days a week, and made 25 cents an hour, which was big time. My first job was, I'll tell you about that in a minute, but made smoke bombs. It was a can factory, so they were equipped to make cans, so they made smoke bombs. And that's what we did over there. And then the next year, my senior year, I worked at Used Tool, grinding, making these rock bits. We'd grind the teeth on those bits. If you've seen one of those bits, there's a big metal block with a whole bunch of little gears like all over them. And when the whole bit turned, these little gears chew up the concrete or the rocks. But my job was to work with the little bits that went on the end and give them a sharp edge. But when I was in the seventh grade at Master Conception, I worked at a place called Holloway's Auto Garage. And my job was to drop oil pans and clean them and get ready for rods and bushings. And they did a lot of rod work and bearing work and piston cylinder changes there back in those days. Apparently, I got that was a source of a lot of wear. But I got a big 10 cents an hour there.
In seventh grade?
In seventh grade, I was doing okay. Then, of course, got out of Milby in, I think, 43 and joined the Naval Air Force, and got into PBM, which was a patrol bomber, a large flying boat. Picture of one.
It's over there.
Right there.
Mm-hmm.
But luckily I got back in all one place and met my lovely wife at that same Immaculate Conception CYO. We had a CYO Catholic Youth Organization. And a bunch of guys were getting out of service and the girls were probably a little bit lonely too. They had nobody to date for several years, I guess. So all these good looking guys came floating in and they were right there to meet us. So everybody began pairing off in the beginning. It was just kind of a cut and dry situation. You take that one, I'll take this one, and he gets that one over there.
And
one of those things. Yeah. Don't let her hear this part of this conversation. But
60 years later, yeah.
Yeah, and here we are today. What else you want to know?
Let me do a follow-up. When you were working at the defense plants, mm-hmm. Was that because some of the older workers had actually joined the service and gone on?
Yeah, they were short of help. And they put out a help wanted to high schools, and those of us that needed money were paying our own way. I mean, there were very few that were not paying their own way in those days, but most of the kids in junior and senior high school were doing something to earn some money, working at a grocery store or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it was a means of earning income, and there wasn't anybody else around, apparently. They needed to produce these, in that case, smoke bombs, and used to wanted to produce this oil drilling equipment, so they put out the word, and I wasn't by far one of the only ones. There was a bunch of us working there from Austin. Austin and Milby furnished this end, that furnished that end of town, east end of town, with additional help.
What was Milby like? What are your memories of going to school
there? I enjoyed going to Milby. It was a good school. It was basically that whole part of town at that time. I don't believe there anything but Anglos in it at that time. I know it's gone quite a bit Latin now, and maybe some black, I believe, out there. But that was it was a nice school, and I'm not saying it's not nice today, but it was a very nice school. I had a good time there, and managed to be a cheerleader for a couple of years there and enjoyed that. But it worked well.
When you were talking about being a cheerleader, Milby was playing other high schools
here in Houston, yeah.
What were the big rivals?
I guess Austin was our biggest rival because they were the nearest one. They were our neighborhood school, our competing school for talent, baseball, football, and academically, et cetera. But if you could beat Lamar, you were pretty good because that was the snobs of the city there. We always reveled in beating Lamar, which we seldom did. But that was one of the, of course, now the shoe's on the other foot. I think Lamar is one of the bottom schools these days, and Milby's doing pretty good.
Let's back up a little bit to when you were younger and back in the neighborhood. Where did you go shopping? I mean, to buy groceries?
Well, there wasn't any large stores like Foley's or whatever, you know. It was basically neighborhood, privately owned, family owned stores. And you didn't really get out of your neighborhood because, you know, we had a car. My dad used the car to go to work, so we didn't have a car at home. You either rode the bus. As a matter of fact, when I was in about seventh grade, I got my first experience riding the bus in a streetcar. When I'd go shopping out on Washington Avenue on Saturday, I'd take the bus for my mother and usually buy a big 10-pound box of spaghetti and a gallon of olive oil. That's what I went out, not every Saturday, because you didn't use that much a week, but that was my first solo across town when I was about in the seventh grade and doing that little weekend shopping. But the neighborhood, it was sparsely populated, a lot of vacant land. We had a big lot across the street where we played baseball. I mean, it was big enough for a good size. It was a half a block, and that lot was vacant for many, many years. And they finally, I guess, by the time I went into service, they built an American Legion Hall on it, but it was vacant my entire youth. And that was the place where everybody played. You know, rubber guns in the neighborhood. You remember rubber guns? You cut a gun out of a piece of wood and flip the rubber band or cut up inner tubes and made rubber bands out of those. That's pretty sting. I think you got hit where it was bare. That'd pretty sting. But and we played a lot of baseball, neighborhood baseball teams, and of course church and CYO softball team, not baseball, softball. And there were a couple of leagues that we played in over at Ripley House. Ripley House was a big gathering point for the teenage kids and the preteens, I mean the 11, 12, 13s, and up to 18 years old, or before they got drafted. They drafted at 18. So I guess 17 would have been the 11 to 17s, where that was Ripley House. If you could go to Ripley House, you were kind of taking a step up. Otherwise, it was Mason Park.
What were the other restaurants, like Ninfa's? That's been there.
Oh, well, no, we didn't get that far up the road. We didn't eat at restaurants. We didn't. I don't remember what. Probably the first time I ate out was when I was in the service. That's probably the first time I ate out, if I can remember correctly. I don't remember eating out anywhere as a kid.
What about clothes? If you went to buy clothes, did you have to go downtown?
No, we didn't go to town because I said they had neighborhood stores. I don't even remember the names of them now, but there were neighborhood stores both grocery stores. Well, there was an A&P store that opened up on Harrisburg. I don't recall what age I might have been, probably 8, 9, or 10, somewhere along in there. But there was a number of clothing stores further out Broadway, further down where Harrisburg turned into Broadway. And you got down into an area where, oh, like old Galveston Road goes off Broadway. There was a theater called the Blue Bonnet down there that we went to. That was our big deal on Saturdays, going to the Popeye Club at the Blue Bonnet Theater. And if you got ambitious, you could maybe go towards town and go to the Boulevard Theater, which there was a Mattings drugstore. Mattings are no longer in business, obviously, now. But there was a Mattings drugstore on the corner, right across catacorner from the Boulevard Theater, that I worked at the Soda Jerk for 1 year. I forgot what year that was. It was a year in my first year at St. Thomas, I think. I worked at that Mattings drugstore by the Boulevard Theater at the Soda Jerk.
Now, did they have full kitchen back there? I mean, they served.
No, we didn't. I don't like to cook any food. Don't remember food at all. It was just the ice cream and drinks, like ice cream sodas and malts and that kind of thing. And you broke the store. You gave most of it away to your buddies, you know.
Too good.
Was everybody Catholic in that neighborhood?
Not everybody, but there was a lot. It was a big Catholic neighborhood, yeah. Certainly not everybody was Catholic, no. Down the street from us, down 76th Street, there was a Catholic Spanish or Mexican parish. I don't recall the name of it now. But on facing 76th Street between our house and the Port of Houston, and let's say where Clinton Drive came into 76th Street, which was quite a ways down towards the Port of Houston, there was this big Catholic church there that was primarily attended by the Mexican population. And the Mexican population was pretty heavy down right close to the channel.
And what was the church that you went to?
Immaculate Conception.
Oh, okay. A lot of Italians in that neighborhood?
Yeah, there were quite a few. There were quite a few Italians in the neighborhood, yeah.
About the same time in the United States, or any of them more recent than your family?
No, I'd say that that was probably typical with my parents and their brothers, sisters, cousins, nephews, and whatever.
Bunch of first and second generation.
Yeah, it was that generation, and there was a lot of them that were fairly nearby. I'd say within 5 miles, you could probably find almost all your family members at that time.
Did you have a large extended family here? I mean, as far as
my mother had four sisters. She was the fifth, I think, and a brother. And they all lived, all but one lived in the southeast part of town. One lived over on the north side. And they visited back and forth, and there was a lot of poker playing and entertainment. The adults got together and played poker at somebody's house. Mm-hmm. The kids just kind of ran amok in and out and whatever.
That's the Vetranos.
Yeah, that was the Vetranos. And the Campos, too. The Campos, they were over on Forest Hill, right across the street from Immaculate Conception Church. And the Vetranos were over in Blessed Sacrament Parish up on Canal.
How often, when holidays came around, did everybody get together for...
Yeah, everybody got together on holidays, yeah. Yeah, I guess it was a first cousin, my mother's first cousin, owned a big pool. What's that called? They had a big kind of a resort-type thing out I-10. It was a big swimming pool, and I can't think of the name of what they called it. But it had like large picnic ground. It was on the San Jacinto River, I remember that. Had a big pool on the San Jacinto River, had tennis courts and all that. We went there maybe 2 Sundays a month. That became a family place to go. It wasn't a commercial place, it was a family place. They eventually opened it as a commercial resort, and it was a membership club a long time after that. But when we were going, it was still a big family location.
Michael had mentioned the flood of, I think it was 37.
Yeah, that was interesting. That was for the M&M building, 37, 36, I forgot what 30, year.
37,
sure. Yeah. And there was a huge flood. We still lived in the same place out, 302 76th Street in Harrisburg, in that general area. And kind of like today, I guess, part of town flooded and part of it didn't get any rain. We didn't know we had a big storm and flood. Then we began hearing this stuff on the news, and my dad and I and my brother decided we'd go down and see what a flood was like, because we hadn't seen one. So we drove as far as we could drove, and then as far as we could drive, then we walked quite a ways, all the way to Main Street. And we had heard about all the stuff down at the M&M building where the big Main Street viaduct goes over Buffalo Bayou. Mm-hmm. So we walked down there. I don't know how many miles that might have been, but we walked through slush and slop and whatever, just exploring one Saturday afternoon. Went up on this bridge, and we saw all this debris floating down Buffalo Bayou. And my dad had the foresight to bring a fishing hook and some fishing line. And I didn't know he had it, but he had this in his pocket. And we went up there, and he said, let's go fishing for one of those boxes down there and see what we can catch. So he dropped his anchor down there, his line and a little weight of some kind. I already have it for a weight. And the hook caught a hat box. And the hook went right through the hat box. Fortunately, you could bring the whole thing up in one piece, lid on it and all. And there's a big Western hat in there. And I think he wore that hat till the day he died. Floating down Buffalo Bayou.
Might have been all the first new hat he
had. All these hat boxes. It might have been, it probably was the only new hat he ever had, yeah.
That's outstanding. The M&M building, is that the one where downtown
Houston? Well, it used to be the University of Houston.
Yeah.
Yeah, that used to be called the M&M building. Merchants and Mariners or Merchants and Marine, or I'm not sure what the M&M
is. Manufacturers and Merchants.
Manufacturers and Merchants, that's what it was called, yeah.
A guest speaker.
I did hear that.
Yeah.